shouldn't have parents and teachers spending enormous amounts of time and energy Isaac in the sugya of chinuch. Imahoyis leholchu lekvutzeis hanechia, avoyis leholchu lemivgashim, moirim lo lamdu metodika veumanut hadibu. Mothers didn't go to support groups, and fathers didn't go to meetings and chinuch seminars. Weekends, that's chinuch weekends now, seminars. Teachers didn't go on these big courses that they have and teach you how to speak and diktuk and how to, you know, what's it called? Speaker training and teaching training and psychology training, all these things. No one was ever involved in stuff like that.
About 30 some years ago, Rabbi Taubers, that's how gave one at Chafetz Chaim in Miami. Shabbaton.
Yeah.
On chinuch.
Sure. Yeah. No, today we have it. Today, I told you yesterday, the amount of time and energy and money invested today in chinuch is unheard of. Unheard of. And here it's not enough. We're not doing enough in this country. In America, there's an enormous amount being done, and that's not enough either, but at least there's an understanding that you need to. It's changing here as well, slowly, but it's we're far from what needs to be done. I'm saying let's just get some fundamentals down, and then we'll deal with all the questions afterwards. We can't answer questions. We don't have the Yesodus. Let's get the Yesodus in place, understand where he's going, and then we'll take all the questions. Ubechol zois. Despite the fact they didn't have all these initiatives, let's call them that for now, they didn't have the problems that we have. First thing we have to say is that chinuch is not a consequence of wonderful droshes. Do any nirchash b'haknes yeda u'ba'avoros choymer. Chinuch doesn't happen by acquiring information and passing it on. Chinuch is something that takes place almost, it's in the air.
Peripherally.
Osmosis. Oh, peripherally.
He's a big word.
Yeled Hagod, the big four, I'm trying to break my teeth or whatever, but that's what they're saying. I'm just copying them. Yeled Hagodl, we'll see what I mean now. Yeled Hagodl Babais Sheboa Kas Shriach, a child that's growing up in a house where there's lots of anger. Nitkal Pamim Rabot, and Ba'aba Shegol Ba'ima, he encounters a father that shouts at the mother a lot, or the ima that shouts at the father or whatever. And that's what he sees. Yeled Ze Layoichali Klot Maserim Chinuchim, this child doesn't have the ability to absorb chinuch messages. We only flame kagol shiu. They could be the most awesome, wonderful chinuch ideas, about his ears are blocked. He can't hear. The machine's not working. Chinuch doiresh kaka shel regia. Chinuch requires calm ground. Shel simcha v'tuv leivov. Reka shel mabat chiyuvi alachaim. The basic ingredients for chinuch are calm, simcha, tuv leivov, and a positive attitude towards life. If that's not there, Shalom Bayis hi atnai harishon lahatzloche b'chinuch. That doesn't mean that if you have Shalom Bayis, you've got a guarantee. That doesn't mean if you don't have Shalom Bayis, you've got a guarantee the other way. There are no guarantees in this game. But Hashem's not going to ask you whether you succeeded or not. He's going to ask you, did you do what you were supposed to do? That's all. We see plenty of homes, Baruch Hashem, where the Shalom Bayis is wonderful and everything's fine, and 19 children grew up beautifully and 2 went off the derech. We don't understand. And that's rule number one. We don't understand. Number two is you can have a house where it was disastrous, where there was mamash, worst case scenario type of house, and every kid turned out more beautiful than the next. You don't see it too often, but it can happen. It can happen. We don't understand. Hashem has his own cheshbonos. But we're not responsible for Hashem's world. We're responsible for doing what we're supposed to do. The Brisker Rav always used to say, you're not going to be judged on what you achieved, you're going to be judged on what you did. You're going to be asked, did you do what you were supposed to do as well as you could? You have to know that the sequim, if there's a normal, well-balanced, healthy home, the sequim of raising normal, healthy children are a lot better than if not. One bocher said to me, why would you follow someone who's miserable? Why would you want to be like someone who's miserable? Everyone wants to be happy. So who are you going to use as somebody that you'll follow and walk after? Someone who's a misery. If your father's a misery, why do you want to be like him? So you're going to leave that path and look for something else that looks more happy. If your father's happy, so why wouldn't you want to be like him? That's just the bottom line. If you're not happy, you have to pretend. That's all. If you're misery, you have to pretend. I don't know, whatever. But that's the first thing. When a child sees how the parents behave towards each other, when there's pressure in the house, when there's difficulties, when there's problems, he sees how they handle it, he learns imuna pshutay. Not because someone gave him a drosha, not because somebody taught him the safe on imuna, not because he saw the chazanish or the chavis alavavis or the shari tshuva, no. Because that's what he grew up with. He understood by osmosis that when you have a problem, that you turn to Hashem, and that you don't panic, you don't freak out, and you don't go mashuga. You give him a beautiful drosha on imunah and betochen, he's got it automatically. A friend of mine's grandmother grew up in Kelm. She said, in Kelm you didn't learn Musa, you breathed it. It was in the air, it was in the street, it was in the environment that you lived in. There was somebody who came out of the Holocaust and there was a, I can't remember which war it was. One of the wars in Eretz Yisrael, and it was okay, you have to work it out, the Chazanish was still alive. And he was very anxious and very nervous and whatever. He went to the Chazanish and told him, I'm not. Chazanish said, come stay with me for a few days. Come with me for a few days. You live with the Chazanish for a few days and you see how calm the Chazanish was and how totally unaffected by what was going on. It's still davening because there's a war, you have to daven, but totally calm, totally whatever. After a few days, the guy said, I'm fine, I can go now, thank you. Listen. He didn't give any speeches, didn't give any droshes in Munim, Batach or whatever. Just come live with me, you'll see that I'm... No, not me, I mean the Chazanish. Don't stay with me if you want to be calm, that's the worst place to be. It's the last place you want to go if you want to be chilled and calm and relaxed. I'm not... That's why I have to learn this stuff, because I'm... What happened? The pipe burst. No, call me Shamayim, I call it Tova, find the plumber, whatever. If you panic, the plumber's not going to come any quicker than if you calm. The problem's not going to go any. We feel guilty when we don't panic. You know that? I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. You start working on Batochen a little bit, so you have a problem, so you try and be calm and whatever. You start feeling guilty. Because like somehow, if you're not panicking, you're not worried enough about the problem. You're not being responsible enough because you're not freaking out because there's a problem. How can you be calm in the face of a problem? There's something wrong with you. You start working on betochen and imunah, you start thinking you're meshuggah. Everyone tells you you're meshuggah, and you start believing them that you're meshuggah. There's something wrong with you. How can you be so calm when they're coming to foreclose on the mortgage tomorrow and you're calm? Well, if I panic, it's going to stop them foreclosing. If panicking is a valid ishtadlus for pandas, I'm happy to panic. I don't mind. I'm good at that. Well, if you understand just in seichel, I'm not talking this to get below the neck, just above the neck. It's pashut. Panicking's not going to make the problem go away. It's not going to solve the problem. So why are you panicking? Well, if I don't panic, I'm going to... What do you mean? Not panic? There's a crisis here. How do we get that? Where do we get that from? That's ingrained in our... I don't know. I'm the only one that has this problem. It's ingrained in my bones, and most people I've spoken to tell me that they agree with me. Yeah, but talking, you don't have to panic. That's the word. But talking means I feel secure, so I'm not panicking. I have a problem, I have to deal with it. I have a real problem. I'm not saying that you ignore the problem. There's a real problem. A person's got a panosa from Khalila. There's a real problem. He has to be concerned about it. Don't just mitlem from it. Just throw it at Hashem and say, Hashem, it's your problem. Hashem gave it to you. Why have you got a panosa from? Because Hashem gave it to you. He wants to see what you're going to do with it. But panic, freak out, go meshuga? Wow, what does it help? I call it tova, call me shamayim. What'll be? Whatever will happen, will also be mishamayim. Now I'm going to go do what I have to do, responsibly, with a clear head. I'll do everything that I have to do, because that's my responsibility. But what's with the panic? Because if I don't panic, somehow that's what I learned. That's how you respond to problems. You panic, you shout. A kid growing up in that kind of house knows that the response to a problem is shout and scream and panic. The kid that grows in a house where everything is a kol tova, kol madam shomer tova, kol gamzu l'tova, whatever, he grows up knowing that. That's, so you don't have to give him droshes in imunah and betochen. He doesn't know any other way. That's what he saw. So that's what he thinks is the way to deal with problems. When he's in a living in that calm environment, he's able to absorb whatever it is that the family is trying to get him to absorb. קשה מאוד לצפות שילד יגדל בכיוון חיובי וימוצא את עצמו תוך ניצול כישור ורוחנים אם הוא גדל בבית של אנשים מרירים, מתלוננים, עצבנים, כועסים וטרודים. Most people don't have all these problems. Huh? How is it possible for a child to grow up in the correct way and find himself and develop himself and build a self-confidence and develop a marechet that he can grow and develop in ruchnias and build his ruchniastika talents if he's growing up in a house surrounded by people that are bitter, complaining, sad, angry and bothered? Most people don't have all these problems. We each all have at least one of them. I can tick off a few. Amnam nochon b'kol bayis yesh kashim v'yiz moedet yoyis. That means, well, because he doesn't have problems. If he had my problems, he'd also be a misery. No, every house has problems, every house has struggles, every house has suffering, every house has its difficulties that everyone has to be moedet with. If you don't, then you have to be really worried. Then you should panic. If you have no problems and everything's just zippy, look, I'm not about you have problems and you're dealing with them, so therefore, you know, like the Rebzusha, I don't have any suffering. I'm talking about when you have problems, but you're handling them. I'm talking about if you have no problems whatsoever, then you can panic. Then you better start panicking, because then you're in real trouble with Hashem.
Not for the first 39 days.
Okay. All right. I'll give you the 40 days. Nothing happens for 40 days. You better be very worried. Very worried. But most of us, I don't know, anybody has that problem? I want to meet somebody who has that problem.
He became
a shliach of the Satan. Now there are people that Hashem realizes there's no hope for them, so he uses them to work for the Satan. He puts them into a world of cause and effect. He works hard, he makes money, he stops working, he loses money. He's a test. You see, oh well, look at him. So he becomes a shliach for the Satan just to confuse people. But there's nobody else who's saying that. If that happens, that's when you need to panic, because that's really worth panicking about. Nobody has even close. Close?
39 days.
Huh? 39 days without problems. If you go 40 days without problems, you have to be worried that Hashem's paying you off in this world and you don't have a chalik in Olam Haba,
Chalila. About 2 hours.
No, that's what I'm saying. And the Gemara says, what are we talking about? What kind of suffering? We're not talking about Holocaust. We're talking about a guy puts his hand in his pocket and he thought he had 10 shekels and he finds that he only has 9. Or you're looking for your credit card and you knew you put it in this pocket for 1 second, you can't find it, and say, oh, I put it in this pocket. Open to save it to the wrong page. How long of an example the Gemara brings there? Whatever. That's called Yisurim. Okay. So we've got some. So that's not our problem. But kol bayis yesh kashim v'yiz moedet yoyis. In every home, there's difficulties and there's things we have to deal with. Achalorim ledat heitev shedafke b'itoyis kushya eladim boichnim kol mila v'kol yisyachsus shalehim. Children have got antennas, very sensitive antennas. And it's dafka when there's problems and difficulties, that's when they're looking to see and learn how we deal with problems. That's when those antennas get wired up. Ha'izyoksus sheleim lebaya o letzara hi shetanchil leyeladim es yocheiles ha'it moidedus b'chayim. The way you're dealing with issues and problems, that's what plants in the kid the ability to go and deal with his problems when he gets older. You can give all the droshes and imunah betochen. You can learn shara betochen of bahot with Rav Matisyahu and everybody's pirushim and give them over to your kids, the law or the klum. Klum, klum, klum. He's not listening to you. כל הילדים אינו חשים בשלווה ובנימס בבייס בסך הבייס. כל זמן, there isn't a sense of tranquility and pleasantness in the house, all the joys are a waste of time. Does that mean every second of the day you're always going to be calm and pleasant or whatever? No, we're human, there are going to be problems. Some days you're going to lose it, some days you are going to panic, okay? It's fine. Kid sees, dad slipped up, he's working on himself. He sees that a person is working and developing and building a marechet. He understands, you know, not everybody's born the Chazanish. The Chazanish wasn't born the Chazanish either. You know, the Chazanish went through wars. The Chazanish wrote Svarim and Chidushim while there were bullets hitting the wall of the bunker he was in. It was the best Chidushim he wrote. it takes a certain amount of yeshiva das and a certain amount of imun and betokot. Okay, we don't have that. We're human. We're just starting. That doesn't mean that every time you get upset or you don't handle it the way he's describing it, so you failed as a father now. No, as long as the kid sees, oh, he has a man who's struggling with betokot and he's working on himself and he's growing and developing. He understands that, yeah, we make mistakes and we correct ourselves. We get up. We don't make a mistake and collapse. It's also part of the lesson. Zois for oid, huh? Interesting question. Big machlokes, the Balei Musar today, whether you should apologize or not.
Nowadays, probably.
No, I'm talking about nowadays. Nowadays. Two of my rabbis, one says you shouldn't apologize. Not that you shouldn't, but you don't have to apologize to your children. Another one says you for sure apologize. What do I think? I think you should apologize. It depends on the age as well. Age of situation, it's a shikala das. How are you going to teach your children tshuva if you don't show them that there's a thing called tshuva? Mm-hmm. You ever thought about mechanechin your children hilchos tshuva? Whoever thinks about that? Yeah, eating matzah, taking a lulav, there we mechanech our kids in. Tshuva is also mitzah. How do you mechanech your kids in tshuva? Say sorry to Yankee because you kicked him while you thought I wasn't looking. You don't get a 6-year-old, you just pulled his sister's ponytail or whatever. Say sorry. That's tshuva. That's like teaching makaras atoba, getting to say thank you. That's not tshuva. How do you teach? No, it's a serious question. How can a child in tshuva?
By example.
So when you say sorry to the child, I'm sorry, whatever. But once again, you have to know, it depends, did you upset the child? Maybe you just got upset, stunned, you weren't at anyone. It's a shikl, it's a very good question. Very good question. I don't think it's a blanket rule that you always have to say sorry, you should never say sorry. I think there are times you should say sorry, there are times I don't think you should, it's not necessary, I don't know, you have to be careful. Very young kids, I don't know, when they get to teenage years or whatever, then you're not involved in chinuch anymore. Then you have to say sorry because, not because you're mechanechin. You have to say sorry because he can be meichel you. You need his mechila. With a young kid, cotton ain't a meichel. There are some shitters I saw recently that the cotton can be meichel. Generally speaking, we all cotton ain't a meichel. So you're not saying sorry to the child because you want it to be meichel you. You're saying sorry to the child because you want a mechanechin in tshuva. Once it's over the mitzvah, you have to say sorry because you need to be meichel. You need his mechila. How that works, I don't know. I'm just pointing out that there are two different questions. There's always two different questions when you're dealing pre-bar mitzvah and post-bar mitzvah. There are always two different mahalchin and chinuch lagamba. Where does that teenage start, year start today? I don't know. You have a very small window pre-teenage. From like 4 to 7. It's like before 3 then, I think, and after 7 they're really not your children anymore. They're really on the street. I don't know. Whatever, anyway. Halacha is 13 for a good boy, 12 for a girl, maybe a little bit before, whatever. Zoysvoid. Simchosom shela yeladim v'derech aliyosom enu tlois b'matzev ha-kalkali or b'matzev ha-briyuti shebabayis. There's a chiddush, but it's posh if you think about it. The happiness and the well-being and the balance of the children is not based on the financial situation or the health situation in the house. Matzum haba batim ani ma'od or batim revon b'machalot v'kashim shegid liyaladim u'sharim. There are plenty poor people that raised wonderfully happy children. There are plenty ill parents of modern Islam that raised wonderful happy children. What is the klal? Is your relationship to the nesoyin that Hashem is giving you. That's what is going to impact on the children. If Mashach kol hayom ha'erim, mevachim es ha'anirs, mekneim v'shcheinim ha'ashirim, v'lo mekaimim es ha'tzivu v'kol mo'adecho, Kolzman, the parents are saying, wow, look, the neighbors just got a new washing machine. Wow, I wish we had this. Oh, why do we have to be so poor? Wow, if we had more money, we'd go on holiday. We'd go, yeah, but, so then what do you want from the kids? What about Makol Ma'adecho? Makol Midi or Midi Shem Weided Lecho? As Abbas, lo yavi Makol, na lachlas, arachim chinuchim. So then there's no room yet to machanach the children. You want to go on holiday, go on holiday. You want to buy a new car. But sitting and twitching about the fact that you can't, and you can't afford this, and we can't afford this, and we can't afford this, and we can't, and the neighbors can't afford whatever, that's the quickest way to break the midah, b'chol mo'adecho. B'chol mo'adecho. What we have is what we have. What the neighbors have is what they have. Makeshuri to the neighbors. Not saying it's an easy nisoy. Not saying it's an easy nisoy. The neighbor's kid's got an iPad, also on an iPad. What do you mean? You might have to move homes, but then you have to move schools, you have to go live on the move. That's what the Rambam says. It gets to the point where they won't even let you live alone, whatever. Then you have to go live in the Miboris. I don't know what. Then you have to ask. I don't know what you do. Hard, difficult nisayonis today that we have with our kids. But if the kids see in us that we have to have whatever the neighbors have, then you can't expect anything more from the kids. If the kids see that we're quite happy, you know, Baruch Hashem, we don't need an iPad. You know, Nebuch, the poor guy next door, he has to have an iPad. We don't have to have one. Baruch Hashem, we have other things. And if the kid has the other things, because what they really want is time with you, if they have that, then it's not going to be a big problem. I know a certain mother, she tells the kids, if you help me clean the house, then I have more time to read you stories. You don't want to, don't. I'm going to clean the house. I don't need you to help me clean the house. Because you tell the kid to clean the house is a surefired way of setting up a set of arguments here. Because you told him to clean the house and he says, no, now you have to. I'm just as an example, it could be anything. Now you're in a war of you know, he has to, because now you told him he has to, so he's got to obey. You have to threaten, you have to punish, and then a whole balagan starts here. Or you can say to the kid, I really want to spend time with you to story, but I have to clean the house. Help me clean the house. We get finished early, I have time, I'll read you a story. Which kid's not going to help clean the house? He learns how to clean the house without ever being told. You don't have a war, you don't have a milchama. And if he says no, great, gesundheit. You didn't lose anything. You didn't command him to do anything. Sometimes you have to tell children what to do and you have to enforce it. I'm not saying no. But look for areas where you don't have to. Child wants to spend time with his parents. He wants to spend time when they're younger. When they're older, the last thing they want to do is see you. But some old man, what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm joking, but I'm saying the young kids, what do they want? They want time. Read them stories. Read them stories. The biggest chesed for a kid you can do is tell him stories. They want the time. So tell him, okay, help me clean up. Help me put the washing in the washing machine while I do the sponger, and then the time I would have spent putting the washing or whatever, I'll read you a story. חושב לדעת לא קל בעולם תחליף לחיים ולשמחה שאב ואם יכולים להעניק לדעת. It's so obvious and it's so difficult to grasp. There is no substitute for the warmth and the simcha that a father and a mother can give to their children. There's no substitute. You can pay someone to learn with your children, but you can't pay someone to play with your children. You can't. Pay an avrech to take your kid to the park and play ball. Hey, I'm right to sit and learn with your kid because you can't. Gesundheit, what's the problem? Hold it's lichat chila. But to take a ball and go play in the park, or to go sit and have a milkshake, kid doesn't want to have a milkshake with an avreich that you pay to have a milkshake with him. He wants a milkshake with you. My kids used to play games on Friday night after the suit, especially after the suit when they were young. I'm talking they were very young. They used to play games, whatever, Rummy Club and all sorts of different, you know, innocent kind of games, whatever. And it was lovely, and I used to sit on the couch learning or whatever, and they were playing games. They used to ask me to play, and I thought, whatever. Lel Shabbos Kodesh, could you learn, whatever, you know, play games, whatever. Anyway, I spoke to Rav all the week, in the good old days when I had access to Rav all the week. I asked him what he thought. He said to me, their Oleg Shabbos is playing with you. That's what he said. It was enough for me, I got the message. So I started playing, learning how to play Rummy Club, whatever. Don't play with me, I'm an expert. But that's the thought. It's not playing games that they want.
Yeah. It's quality time.
It's just the enjoyment they have with you. A very choshev Rosh Yeshiva. Choshev Rosh Yeshiva was a big masmid, whose father Zatzal was the masmid, kimat the masmid ador. Told me, he's already in his 70s, this Rosh Yeshiva. He told me, I still have warm, cuddly feelings from the game I used to play with my father on Hanukkah. His father was a very busy man and a big masmin and didn't have too much time, but on Hanukkah he used to take time out to play Ludo, Dreidel, whatever they used to play, the games they used to play. He says, I still, this guy's in his 70s, a kosh of a big Rosh Hashiva today. He told me, I still have warm, cuddly feelings from those games 60 years ago, 70 years ago. Now, if he'd played with an avrek that his father had paid him to play with, he wouldn't have warm, cuddly feelings. He probably wouldn't even remember the moment. And if he did, it would be with bitterness. Poshut. Learn. You need somebody to learn with your child and to improve his learning skills. But pay someone to learn with your child. I don't know. It's wonderful. But play, you should also try if you want. I'm not saying not. Very often kids don't want to learn with their parents. It doesn't work. Almost like that, whatever. I don't, I'm saying not. But it's choshev to learn with your kids. To play with your kids, to go for a milkshake, to go. There's the father came to me, his kid, when they first made Aliyah, his kid used to take the soccer ball, the football, to school. Yeah, I can see everybody horrified by such a thing. Take a football to cheder. Anyway, the cheder told him, as we could predict, you bring the ball again, don't come. You without the ball, or we don't need you. So, the father came to me very upset, but then, you can understand, outraged. What should he do? I said, go play ball with your kid in the afternoon. And he'll stop wanting to take the ball to cheder. He comes from a place where he used to play ball. He wants to play ball. So he's taking the ball to cheder because he's hoping he can find someone to play ball with. You go explain to him why he can't take a ball to cheder. I don't know, because I don't understand why he can't take a ball to cheder myself. I don't know, I'm not going into that. That's not my subject. I said, but he wants to play ball. So who can he play ball with? Who's going to give it? But I'm busy, I'm this, I'm that. I said, fine, so you've got choices. Either your kid starts going to cheder, or he stops going with the ball, and then he's going to really be bitter and angry. Or every day, take 15 minutes, go to the park and play ball with him. Those are your choices. Change the system. Okay, get back to me when you change the system. We'll discuss it again. Give me a call in 20 years' time when the cheder used to have... Today, most of the Chedorim, they're not worried about this. Where I live, you can play ball, it's fine.
Yeah, but
Rishu Shiva even tells the balls. I mean, he even told the Beit Shemesh kids that came to Tifrat last week, he told them you have to sometimes go play ball. And it's also part of the Gam Chelek Mia Gadla Shalachim. Rabbi Yankov told them. Anyway, so he did. He started playing ball with the kid. On the second day, the kid already wasn't taking the ball to school anymore. He was fine. Because what is a kid when he wants time with his parents? So if he's not getting the warmth and the simcha from the parents, as kol ma she'arachov matzia al shefa bidud va'biloy kol eile lo ma'avim tumura labayis horim chamvov, whatever the street has to offer him, and it's ma'od delicious and gavaldic what the street has to offer him, but it means nothing to a child who has warmth and love and simcha and caring from his parents. The child who's growing up in the right environment, loyal vatelav, he won't give that up. He won't give it up. He may go into the street. He may dabble with what's in the street, but you know what? When he's finished, he's always going to come home. You can't stop your kids today from being exposed to the street unless you lock them in the basement for the first 20 years of their life, and you could get arrested for doing that. I'm serious. There used to be a time where you could protect your kids from the street. You send them to school, the school's the street. The street's the street. One walk from your house to the Makolot is exposed to more tumor than your grandparents were exposed to in their entire life. The streets in South Africa where I grew up were a lot more tsunua than the streets of Beit Shemesh. He'll go to yeshiva, he'll have a friend who's got an iPhone. Well, yeah, how are you going to protect him from this? You can't. You can't. So first you have to teach him how to deal with the street. But more importantly, you have to know that you have to have a home that when he's finished doing what he's doing, the place he wants to be is home, not his friend's home. Rav Pinkerson used to say, make sure the fridge is full. With older kids, younger kids are not so important. With teenage kids, they come after they're doing whatever they're doing, 13, 14, they're always hungry. The boys, they're ravenous. He comes home, there's food in the fridge. Normally he's got a reason to come home. He comes home and there's nothing for him to eat in the house. He'll go to his friend's house where there's food. When you want him to sleep at night, your home or someone else's home. These are the choices. What time he's going to come home, you have no say. The kids get to a certain age, you have no say what time he comes home. You have no say. Rubelitsky always used to joke, when his money, we never got a chance to close his door. Because there's always somebody coming and going out 24 hours a day. Like he was on his way to Nate's and these kids were just coming home from being out at night. And yeah, you got no say. You have a say where they're going to come home to, though. How? By making it a warm, happy environment where the kid wants to come home. Kid that comes home late, he comes home at 1 o'clock in the morning, gets his head bitten off. The kid who comes home and there's a glass of milk with a note from his mother saying, welcome home. Which kid's going to want to... You're not going to change what time he comes home. Candles for hours, anyway. It's a shame tomorrow. These are nice things to talk about them. That's why I come to Beit Shemesh. Staying at home and doing it's actually much harder than traveling around talking about it. I've done that. Kid comes home later than he said. You blast him. Why? Go to sleep and leave him with a glass of milk and a cup of cookies or whatever. Much more likely the next time he'll come home on time than if you blast him for coming on late. What's gonna impact on him more? The blast or the cup of the cookies? No? Give him a pet. Go to sleep.
Sorry.
When I was, like, my boy was small, they have school on Sunday morning.